Welcome to the Ancient Past Podcast. We are Wendy and Channing, two moms, a quarter of a century apart.
Preserving tradition.
Preserving tradition for a modern generation.
This is why Wendy needs notes.
No, Wendy needs notes because I don't have that memorized.
So we are back today after some technical difficulties.
Yes.
We recorded about an hour-long episode last week. And 17 and a half minutes of it... recorded.
Yeah.
The rest, for whatever reason, something happened either with the software or the mics or something, and it just didn't record. And
that's
so
okay.
Yeah, we're just trusting that God is protecting us from sharing things maybe we don't need
probably
to share.
And we're talking about essential oils.
We were talking a lot about kind of our personal beliefs on how to use more natural cleaning products and methods.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, we didn't need to talk about that.
That's so, right. So here we go. Today
we're
going to talk about food. But one thing we did say in that episode that we didn't get to say, so I'll go ahead and say it, is that I'm going to make a small farm basket of different things from the farm, teas and salves and different things. We're going to do a giveaway because they're real popular in the podcast world and on YouTube, actually. We'll do a giveaway, but I forgot what we were going to ask them to put down in the bottom to comment as a, so it would be an entry, I guess. They need to comment.
We'll figure that out.
Yeah, we'll figure that out maybe by the end.
We'll put it on in Instagram stories probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll make a post for how you can enter into that giveaway.
Yep. So, and we'll do the randomizer picker thing, and then you can get that and we will send it out to you. That'll be really fun. I'd love to do that.
Yeah. So, what are you drinking today, Wendy?
I am drinking Tazo Matcha Mate Grapefruit.
Yum.
It doesn't taste at all like grapefruit, but it does taste like matcha.
Is the grapefruit just really subtle?
I guess. It's
supposed to be.
Yeah, I guess it is. But I did put honey in it, so maybe I compromised the taste. What are you drinking?
I have also Tazo, and it is refreshment.
Yeah, she's sick today. So
you know what mint it is? Did you see? It tastes like a blend
of peppermint and spearmint,
probably.
Yeah.
No,
I have no idea.
It's good. It's got like the bite of the peppermint, but it's kind of sweet-ish too. So
I like spearmint. Apple mint is my favorite.
Yeah,
but I don't have any.
What? I have apple mint growing in my garden.
I feel like I need to go dig some up.
Yeah, come get it. It's spreading like wildfire.
Yeah, I need some.
So what have you been doing this week?
I don't even remember. What is this week? Oh, it's Holy Week.
Yes.
It's Holy Week. So, had a few things. Been working out here on the farm. We have been planting tomatoes like banshees out here.
How many tomato plants would you say you guys have out?
Far 300, I think. At
nice.
Least. Yeah, we probably are going to put about a 500 out.
That makes me feel a lot better about my current status. I think I have like 50.
Oh, you're doing garden. You got plenty.
You've got
plenty. You'll be having tomatoes for a while.
Which
until
the
they
goal.
Go out again.
Yeah,
that's the goal. Tomatoes are always great, but you do have, where we live, you have to get them out early.
Yes.
You have to get them out early. If you don't, they just, so it's about, this is my estimation. I don't know what the exact science is, but whenever the temperatures at night get above 70 degrees, the flowers on the tomatoes do not set fruit. Sometimes don't even make flowers.
Yeah.
So once it gets above 70 at nighttime, you're not going to, they just sit there. They still grow, but they just sit there.
Well, I mean, I don't know the science behind it either, but it makes sense that if nighttime temperatures being that warm means that the daytime temperatures are going to be even mm-hmm. warmer, and it puts that plant into survival mode. So it's not thinking about reproducing. It's thinking about surviving so that it can reproduce when the weather is better for that.
So in our season, we get two seasons of tomatoes. We get spring and the fall. And once our spring have kind of gone to sleep, we start taking cuttings off of those to root, and then we put them out in the fall.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's one thing I did last year. I would just kind of snip off the suckers on my plants, mm-hmm. and I would just pop them right in the dirt. But I think this year I'm going to take them and kind of protect them a little bit through the hottest
the heat,
part.
Yeah.
And like, you know, bring them inside, mm-hmm. put them in a window, put them on the porch, you know, when your foot isn't hurting, you know, going to be too bad. And then maybe get a true fall crop of tomatoes this year.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
That's the perfect time to have them in the fall because everybody wants them. But that's all I've been doing is planting, I think. Nice. I'm sure I've done more. I just don't remember what it is. But it's usually just planting.
The weather's been great for being
in weeding. Yeah.
Yeah.
All day. You can be outside in the middle of the day and it'll be fine.
So did you get any spring cleaning done since we talked last?
I did get some spring cleaning done. I deep cleaned the cabinets in my kitchen.
Nice.
And underneath the sink and the laundry room got cleaned out. Just kind of basic, you know, this is bothering me. I can't function with it this way. And I actually, I know what I did. I went to my mother's and cleaned out her kitchen and her pantry.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I was real motivated to do that. I did that on Wednesday.
Nice.
Yeah. I like spring cleaning. I just need to work on my yard.
Yeah. We got all of the toys that we took away from the kids organized.
I was about to say, how did that
go? And gone through. It actually went really well. On Saturday, Kyle and I spent about 6 hours going through everything. We didn't even take a lunch break. We just wanted to get done. Got rid of a lot of trash and like just junk toys or half broken or whatever. And we're really able to kind of pare it down to what we wanted them to have. And I let them go play in the playroom yesterday and they were very excited.
Oh, I bet.
So, but now like they only have certain things back. And so it's like, if you can't pick up the things that you're getting out, then they're going to be taken away again.
Right.
So we're testing the waters and
seeing how it goes. Were they sad? Did they miss some things?
No, honestly, out of sight, out of mind is so true
for
kids.
Yeah. It is.
So, you know, when they didn't have all of the toys and they couldn't go into the playroom, they were much more creative and went outside.
Cool.
Yeah. So they had been going outside and just playing a lot of things outside together instead of, you know, being pinned up or even just fighting over the same silly little toy. So
That's good.
But yeah, we got that cleaned up. And then because the kids were gone that day, I was able to get a lot of my laundry room kind of like wiped up and things put away. And
you found other things to do.
Yes, they were gone. I did. It was helpful because I was able to get caught up on all of the laundry, like run everything through and just actually clean the laundry room. Like the laundry room, it's connected to our closet, which is super convenient, but it's also like the place where we just dump stuff that we don't want to deal with.
Yeah.
So we cleaned all of that up too.
Well, that does sound like a very productive time that you had when the kids were gone.
Yep.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today?
Today we're going to talk about food.
That's right. Food. You are what you eat.
Yeah.
That's a real popular mantra there. But are you really what you eat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard that you are what you eat or you are what your food eats. And there are different, I guess there's a spectrum of priorities that we'll talk about a little bit today on what it is that we look for when it comes to food. And we would encourage you to find your reasoning behind why you choose to eat certain things or not eat certain things instead of just following the latest trends or fads. And we're not perfectionists on it. We are not purists.
Been known to eat at Chick-fil-A.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And, Chick-fil-A is changing their chicken. Have you seen those articles?
No, I have not.
I haven't really read into it a whole lot because it's one of those things.
Why would they do that? That's the thing.
Money, the cost of chicken and, you know, all of the chicken farms being destroyed. I don't want to go conspiracy
it's
route on
very
this.
Hard to find chicken.
Yes. So they're lowering their standard just a little bit to they were antibiotic free and now it's chickens treated with antibiotics that would be considered harmful to humans.
Right. So it also has to do with how many they have a quota. They have to buy so many. If there's not available in the supply chain of the economy,
well,
they can
I feel like
do.
The articles that are being put out are fear mongering. I don't feel like, let's be honest, the stuff that you're getting in the grocery store is not going to be that amazing quality either anyway. But all that to say,
Yeah.
She still eats Chick-fil-A. I eat Chick-fil-A. I drink Dr. Pepper and raw milk. Yeah. Not at the same time, but you know,
that
maybe in the same day.
Might be good though. I've heard that people do that, like a milkshake, like a soda.
Oh, I should try that.
Sodas back in the day.
You know,
you go to a pharmacy, they'd have sodas.
Yeah.
And they would have Coke with the milk.
Yeah.
Coke with the ice cream, like a float, like a Dr. Pepper float.
Oh, that would be good.
That sounds really like
we should. I really want to try raw milk ice cream this summer.
Oh yeah. It's very good.
Yep.
It's excellent.
I actually need to go pick up milk today.
Do you?
Yep. They were out yesterday.
Oh.
I really need some.
Yeah.
It'll probably help me feel better.
So basically what we're going to talk about today is how do you feel about what you're eating?
Like,
how do you feel generally, your physical body? How do you feel about what you're eating? Do you feel healthy? Do you have enough energy to do what you need to do? Do you have a social reason why you want to change, an ethical reason why you think animals should be fed or whatever a different way? What is your why? Yeah, why are you thinking about changing your way, or have you even thought about it?
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. A lot of people don't think about it because it is just so easy to go with the flow of what everybody else is doing, everybody else is eating. And I think everyone is going to have their own convictions about everything in life, but food, you know, you just decide. And even if you think you haven't decided, you haven't made a conscious decision about it. You have. You don't just stand still. Either you are going one direction or you're going the other.
We have to eat.
Yes.
We have to eat. So,
and we're not here to shame you about it, whatever you decide.
We just
want to share
our opinions and kind of get the conversation going.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, I mean, how do you feel about it? Are you okay with, you know, some people are drive-through sous, you know, where they don't mind it at a drive-through, or are you a eat at home only person? Or are you, I'm going to make everything, I mean, including my bread and everything. Are you just, you know, what are your views on it? There were a lot of documentaries around a while back, maybe before the coronavirus. Michael Pollan was doing the Food Incorporated type thing and talking about the CAFOs, the feedlots, and about where our meat comes from in the world. And then when we had the coronavirus, we figured out where things were sourced from.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff is sourced outside of the United States. They're just sourced everywhere. And everywhere we're seeing supply chain breaks. You know, you just didn't have certain things in cans or whatever that you can get from the store because you either didn't have workers or you didn't have the supply, or we couldn't get them across the border. So
I think the supply chain thing was a big wake up call for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what can I do to not be so dependent on this really long supply chain? Like, let's shorten the chain and source local, which we're going to devote an entire episode to that at some point.
Yeah.
But
you're kind of committed to local. But
Well, I mean, that's how we met, was after. After the coronavirus, and trying to think of what year it was, it had to have been late 2020 or 2021.
Something
when like I was looking for how to not have to rely on Walmart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I have a notebook somewhere. I'll have to find it. Literally at the top of the page, it was why no more Walmart. And I am sad to say that I still am somewhat dependent on Walmart, just because things are expensive right now.
They are expensive.
And we have to make choices on what we're going to invest our money in. And it's hard to go cold turkey and all or nothing. It's going to be little steps, baby steps.
Right.
And sometimes it's going to take years to make those steps towards being completely locally or regionally sourced.
It is. We have a lot of the people that join our CSA is because they're committed to local.
Yeah.
And they want to know where their food comes from. And they know that we are out there planting it, and we're going to be careful if we have to spray anything, and we're going to tell them what we're spraying it with, and that we eat it too. And so I think that's really important to them. And then we have some people that just think it's fun, because it's a subscription service, you know?
Yeah.
But then we have some people that are, you can also get weird things like kohlrabi. I mean, you can get weird things because I like to grow the things that are different. So it's not necessarily when you're buying local, it's not necessarily that you want to support your local farmer is also a social thing where you want to keep your economy going.
Yes.
Because if you buy from local, this has been on, I've been watching this on Facebook lately with a couple of local businesses we have. If you buy local, she's the, okay, so I'm thinking of a health and wellness center in particular.
Yeah.
She's the one you're going to go to and you're going to ask her to buy your fundraise books for your child or your, you know, cakes or your wallpaper or whatever that you're selling through the school or sponsor a baseball team, whatever. You're going to ask her, but she is charging, you know, 30% or 40% more than you can get on Amazon. But Amazon's not supporting your child, but she has to do that to keep her lights on to pay her employees because that's how much she has to pay. So I think when you're sourcing what you eat, so anyway, we'll get into that when we talk about local, but
yeah,
it's really something to think about. So when you say you are what you eat, what does that mean to you? Like, can you have sugar? Can you not have sugar? Can you have candy? Can you not have candy? Can you have honey? Are you switching just to whole foods or natural? Are you looking for ethically sourced meats? Are you looking for vegetables that are grown without chemicals? Are you eating vegetables even?
I think the norm nowadays is not people who have grown up with super intentional food priority.
No.
So we're in this generation of people who are coming to this, I wouldn't even call it just the natural realm, but just like getting back to their roots, mm-hmm. but it's for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
So your first entrance into growing your own food was mm-hmm. because of your Hashimoto's diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Mine was also a medical diagnosis. And other people that I know who have for years just eaten the, what we would call the standard American diet, even if they had a palate for very nice food mm-hmm. and they enjoy making food at home and making very exquisite recipes, they were still consuming not good quality foods.
Yes.
And then because of some health crisis, they have come around to this more, let's look at the ingredients and let's mm-hmm. really pay attention to the labels and understanding what we're eating right. and make some more intentional decisions. For our long-term health.
So let's talk about the food. Let's talk about the quality of our food. How can we determine the quality of our food?
I wish I had this statistic in front of me. And, you know, if I had been feeling a little bit better last night, I would have looked this up. But the thing that sticks out to me, and I've heard this for years, and I never really accepted it as fact, really, until recently, was just that over the past 60, 70 years in our country, I can't really speak for other countries, but in our country, the nutritional value of even fruits and vegetables has declined.
Wow.
The percentage of vitamins in, let's say, a carrot is lower because where does that carrot that's growing, that plant that's growing, get its vitamins from?
Mm-hmm.
The soil.
Yeah.
And we have not treated our soil well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's why you're getting this resurgence of back to Eden or no-till mm-hmm. or organic farming is because there's people who are like, hey, we want to have this really nutritionally dense food, but it's not just putting the seed in the ground. We have to think about what we're putting that seed into.
Yeah. And that you can actually buy homeostatic soil organisms, HSOs, and as a supplement and take them.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
it is interesting, isn't
it? It's like
it?
The
micros of the...
Yeah. Well,
the perfect inches.
Yeah. I think that was really eye-opening to me. And so when we look at a food pyramid, which I think is a propaganda thing anyway, I don't really follow the food pyramid.
Well, it's changed. It changes.
It has. It changes based on who is paying into it. But even just eating your, like... what is it, 3 servings of vegetables a day, you would have to eat so much more of it to get the same nutritional value that someone in the 50s or the 40s was able to consume.
That is interesting. I would like to see a lot more research on that. I think it's fascinating.
It is. And it's heartbreaking to me. But that doesn't mean you're going to be consuming 5 times as many calories.
Right.
I don't think that's what that means. I think it means you need to be intentionally searching out nutritionally dense foods.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means it's going to cost more. Most of the time it means it's going to cost a little more than your mainstream, you know, conventional food that you can get in the grocery store. But also, you're going to need to grow it yourself. You're going to need to go talk to your local farmers and your local meat producers and get back to this grassroots food consumption instead of it being a corporate food consumption system.
Right. Yeah. Because a lot of people used to, they would eat a salad and they would have an ice. It was typical. They still have this at Waffle House. Iceberg lettuce, you know, tomato, you know, maybe a cucumber, maybe a radish. That was the typical salad everyone was eating.
Yeah.
But there's hardly any vitamins in that salad. And then they would have the 2 tablespoons of whatever kind of salad dressing, ranch, on the top of it. But
eating a salad doesn't mean you're eating healthy.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. And nowadays you can get spring mix, which is much better.
Yeah.
There's a resurgence of that, the cut and come again type lettuces. That is a better choice, I think. If you could eat vegetables, of course, I'm a vegetable grower.
Yeah.
So I think that is key. But I also think there's something to be said about intuitive eating also.
Yes.
You kind of need to know, you know, if it's hot and you're thirsty or you feel like you want to eat a melon, well, that's probably you're dehydrated or you need to eat that cooling type thing. I mean, there is something to be said about intuitive eating. To eat if you're feeling down and, you know, maybe you're anemic, you need red meat. Or if you're vegan, you know, I don't know how you would do that if you were iron, your iron was low.
Supplements, I guess.
Supplements.
See, yeah. I have a love-hate relationship with supplements. I think supplements can be good tools, but when they replace key vitamins and minerals that we should be getting from our food, I mean, we believe that God created food. Every food that we need to live and nourish us, we believe that God created those things in nature. And then when sin entered the world, the consumption of meat also became, you know, animal products also became part of how we nourish ourselves. And there's, you know, people can go really theological on all of that. And I don't desire to get into that conversation, but I do believe that God has given us what we need to sustain our bodies in nature. We as a generation and even generations before us have just become so disconnected from it because of the industrialization of food.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Ayurvedic tradition, they eat seasonally.
Yeah.
They eat with the season. So you're eating your fruits and vegetables that are abundant in the summertime. You're eating the soups and the warms and the hot in the fall. And it seems to work for them really well.
How that always makes me think of, like, when we first looked into eating seasonally, started doing the research into that, it also is like eating locally. You may not be able to get everything that you would normally just go into the grocery store and pick up off the shelf.
We do not grow dragon fruit here.
Right. I can't tell you the last time I ate a dragon fruit.
But you know what I mean?
Like, bananas and avocado and strawberries and blueberries all year long. You can get them in the grocery store all year long. Doesn't matter the season. The price may fluctuate a little bit. The quality is definitely going to fluctuate. But you can get apples and citrus all year long.
Right.
But when you're truly eating as if there was no, there had been no hybridization for the storage apples and the storage citrus, I think we're just so disconnected from that.
Yeah.
Have you had customers wonder why you don't supply some of those things
100% all year long? Yeah. Why don't you have lemons? Well, it's the summertime.
Yeah.
And really where we live, it's hard to keep lemons alive.
Well, citrus are winter crops.
Right. Well, you can get them in the store all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So we have, as a society, we've disconnected ourselves. Yeah. We have a lot of people that'll say, well, you don't have tomatoes. Well, no, because it's February. They are a fruiting vegetable or fruit, and you can't make them happen. You know, they can't grow until it's warm outside, and they won't set fruit and they'll freeze.
Yes.
So there is, you know, and lettuce, you're just not going to get it in the summertime. They do have some hybrids that we're working with now, but they're going to bolt pretty quickly because greens are for the fall and the spring and the cool weather. They're cool weather crops.
You know what is kind of cool to me? When I had this epiphany, I think 2 years ago, when I was looking at lemons. I wanted to get a bunch of lemons to store. And they don't really store all that great, but I was doing some digging into it and learned that citrus is really a winter crop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking
about it gives you vitamin C.
Yes. I was thinking about, isn't that amazing that God created a plant that in the darkness of winter, when you maybe couldn't get access to other things that you could get those vitamins from,
mm-hmm.
that he created a plant that you could get that from.
Yeah.
Penny. That would be naturally produced. The cat.
Penny the cat is getting software
stuff. That, you know, would naturally grow during that season. Because I just automatically thought of scurvy. And yeah. I know a lot of people associate scurvy with pirates and sailors, but really people on land can get scurvy too if they don't consume foods with vitamin C.
Well, and in the wintertime, you also have spinach, which has loads of vitamin C. Yep. And so when you don't live where you can get citrus, you know, if you go up further north, you have the cool weather crops, the green leafy greens, all of those have loads of vitamin C.
Yeah.
So you can get them. And that you can get them in that vein too.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this book on the, just to kind of give me an idea. And it says, healthy eating matters. Yes. Healthy eating matters. So you have to determine what's healthy for you. And then we talked about the pyramid, you know, that we have the food pyramid. It changes all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes the grains are on the bottom. Sometimes they're on the top. Yeah. Who knows? We haven't talked about healthy fats though.
Mm-hmm.
That has changed a lot. I think we've talked about it on this podcast before. When I was younger, we were told that if you have no fat, 0 to 30 grams, maybe, or 10 grams, that's how you should eat. And we had loads of food in the grocery stores that were full of sugar, but no fat. I think of Snack Wells cookies. You could eat a whole thing of cookies, a whole box of them for no fat.
Yeah.
Or maybe had 1 gram of fat per cookie. They're logically speaking, those are not healthy for you.
Right.
They don't give you. So in my mind, when I think of healthy eating, I think what is going to give me energy to do what I need to do for the day?
And in order to answer that question, you have to understand biology and chemistry, mm-hmm. and you have to understand what it is that our bodies truly need. And I think that has been one of the hardest things to actually learn the truth about.
Yeah.
Because the structure of that food pyramid and what is considered the toxic chemical of the decade changes and fluctuates based on who's in power. And I know that sounds a little woo-woo-y, like, here's my tinfoil hat.
It's paying for the advertising.
Yes. And it doesn't take long to realize that some of the supposed health claims have really not been researched as well as they claim they have been.
Right. So basically, if you just sit and think about it, the things that are the healthiest for you are things in their purest form.
Yeah. How did God create them?
Yeah. The simplest form.
How do they appear and occur naturally?
Yeah.
And again, we're saying we're not purists, but that's the goal. That's what we're mm-hmm. working toward.
If you're using a fat that has to be processed 10 times to use it, then it probably wouldn't benefit your body.
Yeah.
But if you can get it, you know, if you can make butter and melt it and use it, if you can render tallow and you can use it. Oh, she's back.
Hey, Penny.
Penny.
So sweet.
If you can render tallow and use that, if you need to fry something or saute something or cook, you need some kind of oil.
Tallow, lard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Butter. And even olive oil, but olive oil is really hard to find true olive oil.
It is.
I heard something not that long ago that said there are not enough olive trees in the world to produce the amount of olive oil that is sold under the label olive oil. So I'm becoming less and less trustful of that. But yeah, I mean, I can get fat from a hog and render it to make lard. I can get fat from a cow and render it to make tallow. And I can, you know, skim the cream off of my raw milk and make butter. Mm-hmm. And that's all the fat that I need. I don't need anything else.
And in an easy form, it absorbs quickly.
Well, it provides energy.
It provides energy.
It's fuel for your body to use.
Yeah. When you're eating, are you thinking of food as comfort? Are you thinking of food as energy? Are you thinking of food as this tastes delicious and I want to eat more of it. I mean, what are you really using food for?
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to have something that tastes good. But
yeah, I think if God didn't intend for us to enjoy food, he wouldn't have given us taste buds.
Exactly.
And he wouldn't have made foods in the beautiful rainbow of colors and flavors and textures that he did. But
and how can you digest these foods? Like,
yeah,
what's the easiest to digest in reality?
Yeah.
Fruits and vegetables typically are pretty easy to digest. There's a few that are not. Cruciferous vegetables are a little hard for some people to digest.
But I wonder if that, and I don't know if there's really is a way to learn this answer or not, but part of me wonders if that, what is the word? I guess the inability to digest some things properly. Like I was thinking of lectins in nightshades and things like that. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that is something that has occurred and has been somewhat written into our genetics as a result of some of the other chemical things that we have put in our food. Yeah. And the way
at one point, was it easier to digest?
Has it always been difficult?
Yeah. So what would healthy eating look for? Let's do an example. Remember this. You have your own thing. We're just telling you what we do. What does healthy eating for your family look like, Shani?
I think the fats, well, let's do like the macros.
Okay.
So macros are carbohydrates, fats, and protein.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really good place to start if you're looking for just some categories. And it is important to not ignore the micronutrients. I'm learning a lot about that right now with the adrenal fatigue and all of that. But talking about those macros, we're looking at fats, healthy fats, fats that are as minimally processed as possible. So butter, tallow, lard. I personally am comfortable with avocado oil. I know that there are some back and forths about it. Same with olive oil, but I would like to get away from those as much as possible and go just to those three animal products. But we're working on it. Baby steps.
Yeah.
As far as protein goes, eating locally grown beef, chicken, pork, and I guess I should say poultry, not just chicken, because that could include duck and quail and turkey and whatever. But just getting the locally raised. And the reason why that's important to us is the environment that the animal is raised in is a big thing. And it's not like an animal rights thing. But as a Christian, I do believe that we were created to be stewards of the world that God created. And he gave us the charge of taking care of the world around us. And part of doing my part, even if I can't personally raise the animal, I don't have to participate in a system that devalues that animal. Right. And I don't want to make it like a super spiritual thing, but like when I was learning to process chickens, there's a part of me that's like, thank you for providing the life that by taking this life, I can now sustain my family.
Yeah. And you have to harvest them yourself.
Yes.
You realize that that's what you're, I mean, yeah, it really puts it in a perspective.
Yeah.
It really does.
And so then carbs, we are 100% wheat eaters. I do not agree with the gluten-free culture. I understand that gluten-free has, I think there's a lot of science behind why there's so much gluten intolerance now, but our family doesn't struggle with that, and so we are not going to participate in gluten-free because we don't need to, if that makes sense. But then also other healthy carbs, a lot of vegetables, fruits and vegetables are healthy carbs. I would rather eat a bowl full of strawberries than store-bought cookies and crackers. Oh, like the sugar the complex carbs that are in a strawberry are so much better for my body to process and utilize as energy than an Oreo.
And they taste delicious.
Delicious as Oreos are.
They are.
The strawberries are better.
They are. They are better. You know, even a homemade cookie is better.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with the fresh fresh sugar. I guess fresh sugar is a word.
Brown butter brownies.
I know you keep. You said that at one.
I made some.
We need to make
the other day. I should have made some today. Well, I just use it's the Brahma Bakery brown butter brownies. If you guys want to make them, they are the best brownies I have ever had. My sister gave me the recipe because she made them once. And they are so delicious. And they're very easy to make. And very good ingredients. It's literally butter, cocoa powder, brown sugar, which I make my own brown sugar. So you can add as much or as little molasses as you want, flour, eggs, and vanilla extract, and salt.
That's it.
That's it. That is way better right there. And I can eat that way, like guilt-free compared to something that has 50 ingredients listed.
Well, and also there's a lot of ingredients you see at the store you cannot pronounce. You can Google them and you can find out what they are. But, you know, I don't know. I just feel like if you have the opportunity to eat something that you understand what it is and you know what the ingredients are, why would you not choose that?
Well, would you rather eat an artificially like an artificial chemical laden product or a product that is how it occurs in nature.
Right.
And that's, yeah, that's kind of where we are. What about you? What does healthy eating look like for you?
Healthy eating looks like for me is I'm more of an intuitive eater lately because I'm an empty nester and I don't have to cook every single day. I eat when I'm hungry and I usually eat what I'm hungry for. My pantry is usually stocked because it's just been a habit over the years. But healthy looks for me as definitely as simple, one ingredient, two ingredients, and usually comes from here.
Yeah.
Whether it's an animal product that I'm eating, meat. If I make a chicken, it's usually just chicken.
Yeah.
Salt, pepper, chicken.
Lizard.
Oh, is there? We're on the back porch.
Get him, Penny. He went
to. So she loves lizards. She does.
She has
so it's usually very simple. And then I'll have that and maybe sauteed some vegetables. And then that's it. If I have a complex carb, it will be a potato, maybe rice, which is very rare, or a noodle of some sort. But that's it. It's usually one to two ingredients since I don't have kids at home anymore. And I don't have to try to adjust to their palate. I'm perfectly fine eating a steak or a burger or, you know, with no bread even. I don't even need bread for me because I can just eat something simple. But when I'm having a fancy meal, then you get the bread and they get the sides.
Yes.
But for me, I can totally have just two or three ingredients on a plate and just eat that.
Yeah.
I guess it's because I'm getting older. And I just want to get not hungry and give myself enough energy and fuel.
Yeah.
Whereas before, when the kids were home, I wanted it to be a little bit more adventurous and exciting and them not to get bored with the meals, things like that.
Yeah.
But since it's just me that I have to please, I can make a chicken. I can eat on that most of the week and have a chicken salad with it after a few days. She got the lizard.
Oh, I don't want to watch that.
The circle of life. Ugh. Yeah, I know. The circle of life. So talking about you are what you eat, Penny is apparently going to be a lizard.
Yeah.
Because she has caught the lizard.
She
will play what she does. She took it with her over there. Oh,
good for her.
Yep. So anyway, I don't even know.
So funny. Okay, so you started to kind of.
The older
it's half hanging out of her mouth.
The older is just the older you get, the simpler your meals can be. But when the kids are at home, you need to make sure you have a variety because they need to learn to like and taste all different vegetables. Are you still watching Penny? Don't look at her.
Sorry, I got distracted. This is what happens when we come outside. We get distracted.
I get distracted.
Okay, so you started to kind of you talked about like cooking a whole chicken. What would like a typical? I don't feel like a day is a good enough scope, but what does a typical week look like for you in your healthy eating? Like, give us some breakfast ideas and some lunch ideas and dinner.
If I eat breakfast.
And are you a snacker?
No.
And what do you drink?
During the day?
Yeah, that's a
water and tea.
Okay.
And I will have coffee.
What kind of
if
tea?
If it's a good coffee.
Because when I hear tea, I think sweet tea. But I know you're not drinking sweet tea.
I'm not drinking sweet tea. I will drink any tea. I have loads and loads of different varieties of
like
teas.
Herbal teas.
Herbal teas. My favorite is the dandelion teas. I usually have one of those a day. They taste like coffee. They're real rich. They're kind of
it's really
sub
good for your
coffee.
Digestive system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The and, bitters.
Yeah, it's great. Yep. That Tea Chino has the dandelion coconut, dandelion turmeric, dandelion dark rose. So I'll usually have a good quality espresso in the morning, every other day, if not every day.
Yeah.
And I drink that black. And then I will have tea during the day, a hot tea during the day. In the summer, that's going to change.
Yeah.
It will be iced. I will put tea in a pitcher and stick it in the fridge and then let it steep overnight in the fridge. And then I will sip on that during the day. If I do eat breakfast, it is going to probably be something savory.
Okay.
Probably a meat. I do on occasion, like once a month, like a baked oatmeal type thing, where I'll put oatmeal in the fridge, overnight oats type with lots of fruit, and then I will warm it up in the morning if it's going to be really cold.
Yeah.
I usually like that in the wintertime when it's cold. But in the summertime, I'm going to be eating fruits or vegetables with eggs.
Okay.
Something savory. And then if I have lunch, if I eat lunch or have a big, if I don't eat such big of a breakfast that I have a lunch, it'll be maybe a chicken salad, or I will roast a chicken. I will eat some of that meat with some vegetables, maybe a complex carb. I like to have complex carbs earlier in the day for me because it gives me energy.
Yeah.
So I can go work outside. And then I will take, let's just say I have that chicken, maybe make broth with it, and I'll have soup for dinner later on. Or, mostly in the evening, it will be something lighter, like a soup.
Okay.
With crackers or a soup with vegetables or soup. I like hummus. If I do snack, I do like hummus. I like to make my own hummus. I like tzatziki sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of dipping type snacky thing. I like that. And I like apples with almond butter or even peanut butter. If it's fresh peanut butter. Because we live where there's peanuts. We can get fresh peanut butter pretty easily here. It's like a staple where we live. And so if I'm going to have a snack, I like that. In the summertime, when right now it's getting closer, the juicer will come out.
Yeah.
I have a Breville that I got. I got the Breville at the thrift shop. I'm just going to put that in there for $14, right? It's a $500 or whatever juicer.
Yeah.
It was still in the box, and I've had it for years. And I will have a juice of celery, beets, cucumber, a lemon, a ginger, and an apple. And I feel like I'm missing something, and parsley.
Okay.
And I will eat that juice most every day. So that's kind of, it's pretty routine now. It's not, you know, exciting, you know, or anything like that, but it gives me protein. So I'll have chicken 1 week, and then I'll have pork 1 week, actually. We have our own pork here. And then I'll have beef 1 week.
Yeah.
And then if I vary it, it'll just, I'll freeze something and then I'll just pull it out.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's not rocket science. You can always have something to eat that you grow.
Yeah.
And I can just go out and get a salad if I want to.
Yeah.
Out of the garden.
Yep.
But I also have the stuff that I've canned and I've frozen.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always pull that out as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have peas from southern peas, you know, from like lima beans and black eyed peas. They're all in the freezer. So if I need a protein, you know, I'll just throw those in there, mix those up with some rice.
Yeah.
That's a simple dish. I love that. If you guys don't do black-eyed peas or dried beans or peas or something like that, if you soak them, I would suggest soaking them with water and with vinegar in it overnight and then rinsing them. Because phytic acid, I think, is what it is.
And if you don't, that's where you get the gassy reaction. Yeah.
So I would suggest if you soak them well and then cook them, I would suggest cooking them ham hocks or bacon or something.
That's what we do.
Yeah. And then make them with rice. That's a great complex carbohydrate and protein. They mix together.
We call it black bean bonanza, and it's black beans slow cooked with like a ham hock or bacon or something in it. Something to give it a little flavor. It's not a ton of meat. Like the meat is not going to be
it's just the
main ingredient.
Right. Yeah.
And then we serve it over rice. And a lot of times I season it more like taco meat with like cumin and garlic and onion and stuff. And then the kids' favorite thing that we eat on it is mango salsa. But it's been really hard to find mango lately. I'm really lame. I cannot for the life of me cut up a whole mango, so I have to buy it pre-sliced. I
You
just
should
feel
have a
like
class in
we
mango
probably need
cutting.
to. I have watched so many videos and I have tried so many times and I feel like I just waste my money
Mangoes are so
and I would
good.
rather buy the $4.50 package of pre-cut so that I
Right.
can like it slices and then I can chop it up as small as I
Yeah.
want. And it's like that's a convenience food that I'm okay with right now.
I do like
But
smoothies. Do y'all drink smoothies at
we
home?
don't, because the last time I gave everybody smoothies, it made their stomachs upset. And
Oh
I'm not
dear.
willing to repeat
No,
the
no.
smoothie vomit that I had to clean up.
I
So
like smoothies in
we
the
just,
summertime.
yeah, we don't do, we just have never been big smoothie drinkers. I wish that we were because it would be a good way of getting probiotics and
Yeah.
yogurt into
That's
everybody.
that
But
one you came to the house with a few weeks ago was delicious.
oh yeah,
Chocolate, it was chocolate
oh
something.
yeah, it was a protein shake.
It was really
Yeah.
good.
Yeah, but yeah, we do the black bean bonanza with the mango salsa on it or like fresh tomato
Y'all like
salsa.
pretty simple too.
We do.
We
We are
serve
coming
a
out of
lot
the toddler food stage. So like while my kids still enjoy some chicken nuggets at lunchtime,
I love chicken
we're
nuggets.
yeah, we're not having to do the like very basic, simple kid food anymore. Like I can start, this is not coming out right. It's not sounding right. Instead of having like the meat is separate from the vegetable is separate from the starch, it's kind of like they're more into lasagna. And like last night we had shepherd's pie, which is a comfort food for
That's
me.
I
I
love
grew up
that's
eating
so
that.
simple. I
It
mean,
is so
really, it's so
simple.
simple. Yeah.
So we're coming out of this like I also just did not set us off on the right foot when we first got married. I made everything every night. And I have never been good at like cooking. I know some people can cook once a week and then they're just reheating things. We're not good at that. We don't have a microwave, so reheating things, it's not hard. We
You
use a
put it in the
pan,
oven,
we
yeah.
use a toaster oven, but we just don't. That was why we got rid of the microwave, because I used to could cook everything in the microwave and I just didn't want to do that anymore.
Right.
But yeah, I'm trying to get back to simple, hearty, nutritious foods and meals, whole meals, not just having these individual foods. Because, like, yeah, having a pot of collards is great, but if you can't tie it together with cornbread and meat,
Right.
you know, it's just collards by itself. And there's nothing wrong with that, but trying to have our staples
Yeah, I try to make
and
sure I
establish
get
those as a
a
family.
lot of protein in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's 0.8 grams per pound that you weigh or something like that.
Yep.
But I really try to make sure I get enough protein. And that's the main, that's what, when, if I have eggs in the morning, which typically I have eggs. So if I have eggs and I'll put asparagus in it in the spring, or I'll have spinach in it in the spring, in the summertime, you're going to get, I'll have onions. I'll add something to the eggs
Yeah.
usually, but I'll eat 4 or 5
Yeah.
eggs.
Well, that's one of the
Frittata,
things
an
I'm
omelet, a
learning.
quiche.
Like, two scrambled eggs is not enough protein to start your day.
No.
That is about 10 to 12 grams of protein. And you really should be shooting for 30 grams per
Yeah,
meal
30
at
and
a
30. I
minimum.
think I've heard that 30 and 30, like
Yep.
30 and 30 minutes when you wake up or something. I can't
Yeah.
remember. But
There's people who say within 30 minutes. There's people who say even up to within 2 hours. I shoot for that hour to 2 hours because I do not like eating when I first wake up. But the more that I do it, the more that I am ready to eat
yeah,
right when I wake up.
I'm the same as you,
Yeah.
and I've tried. I
That's
keep
more on
trying.
like the pro-metabolic eating, which is kind of where I'm at right now.
So we're going to kind of some are you are what you eat thing to say, that you need to probably eat real foods.
Yes.
Like that's where we're going. We're
Yeah.
going to eat. We're going to choose to eat real food,
And we're
things that
not
are real.
saying like that always makes me think of Whole30, but I'm not saying
Oh, I see what you're
Whole30
saying,
as
yeah.
in the labeled
Oh, the diet thing, yeah.
diet, but like real whole foods. And that doesn't it eliminates a lot of packaged things, but it doesn't eliminate all packaged things.
Well, you
There's a few things that I'm finding, like, I'm just reading the labels and it's like,
yeah,
okay, this is
it's
made with
okay.
all like single ingredient items.
Yes.
Lara bars, for example,
Yeah.
those are a really good, easy, convenient snack for me to take with me somewhere. And they taste pretty good. I mean, they're made
shop the perimeter. That's yeah. been a big thing for a long time. Yes. It's still a real thing.
Yeah.
Shop the perimeter of your store.
Yeah.
It's a really good thing.
We could talk on and on and on about this for a while, but
yeah. So yeah, it's a real, something that's real to you. That's real. Is how, you know, has it been manufactured? Has it been made? Has it been changed? Has it been modified? Then that's not real. Something that's real is authentic.
Yeah.
And it is, it's well, own.
If as long as it aligns with what your priorities are for your family,
right.
then exactly. go for it and stick to it and be willing to do the work mm-hmm. to find the things that are important to you.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
don't let people, including us, make you feel bad for right. the things you choose, because we don't feel bad for the things
because
we choose.
Because we know people have concessions. I mean, yes. you know, if you're eating, you're doing, you know, 5 days a week, you're cooking or you're meal prepping and you're getting everything done. And then on Saturday, you go to Chick-fil-A or you go
yeah.
whatever. That's really where you are. But it's, you have to figure out what's right for your family and your budget and what you're willing to do. But always do it in the back of your mind thinking, but what's the healthiest for you? Because yeah. you do need to think of long-term, you know, you do need to think of long-term. How is this going to affect me in 20 years, 30 years, 40 years? Is this going to make me the healthiest physical version of myself, the healthiest emotional version of myself? Am I going to be able to eat these things? And is it going to keep my body having the ability to do what I need to do? If I work outside all day, am I strong? Am I healthy? Do I feel good? Or do I just feel like sitting in front of the television?
Yeah.
Well, then you definitely do need to make some changes.
Yeah.
And when you're young, your body, you can do a lot without having to make changes.
Yeah.
But always think, how am I going to be in 10 years?
I wish that I would have realized how much more I could have done 10 years ago to set myself off on a better path mm-hmm. than if I waited until now to do some of the things that I'm doing. But some of it is just the education.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't know, you don't know.
Right.
And now that ignorance, I know, I have to do better. And mm-hmm. I have to make a decision with the information that I have. And mm-hmm. Sometimes we choose to not do anything about it. And that's still making a decision. And it's okay, but own it.
Right.
Own yeah. your decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this one book I'm looking at is Beyond Labels. It's Jill Salatin and Sina McCullough.
Mm-hmm.
It says, a doctor and a farmer conquer food confusion one bite at a time. It looks fascinating. I'm not.
They have a podcast too. I haven't read the entire thing, but I love Joel Salatin.
He came to Pensacola about 25 years ago.
And, yeah.
He did a presentation and that's where I got familiarized with him. And if you don't know who he is, you should really look him up. He does a lot of natural regenerative farming.
Yeah. Polyface. Virginia. Farms.
Polyface. Yeah. He's fabulous. And he was on, Food Incorporated too,
yeah,
with Michael Pollan. There's a lot of those out there that talk about our food system. If you don't know about our food system, you really should educate yourself. I'm not saying that I would never eat something from our food system, because when you go to a restaurant, that's what you're getting.
Yes.
I mean, it's the way it is, but know how.
Yeah, but being aware and conscious of it and then yeah. making a decision with that information. Yeah. Another one of the books we had pulled out was Nourishing Traditions, which oh, yeah. we've talked about before.
That's the Weston A. Price Foundation. I think it's $30 a year still, and I think you get four magazines a year if you do that. And there used to be local chapters. I don't think there are anymore here in our area.
Yeah.
But there might be where you are, where you're listening from. The Weston A. Price gives really good information. He was a dentist, and he traveled across the world because he couldn't understand what was happening with his patients. Their teeth were rotting out, and he was trying to figure out the correlation between cavities and sugar and what they were eating. And he found the indigenous tribes, they had no caries, dental caries. And so yeah. he just didn't understand. And so he did a lot of studies on that, and they were eating raw milk, and they were mm-hmm. eating butter, and they were eating foods that we were saying over in the United States that were horrible to eat.
Yeah, things mm-hmm. that did not align with our food, our mm-hmm. industrialized food system.
Yeah.
It is really interesting. The Weston A. Price Foundation podcast is really cool to listen to. Mm-hmm. They have a very wide variety of people on there. So I don't necessarily agree with everything sure. that's on there. But there's definitely some.
Is it chew it up and spit out the bone?
Yeah.
Spit.
Yeah. There's some good, like, it's a good springboard into mm-hmm. doing your own research about a topic. But that's a really good book. It, Nourishing Traditions is technically a cookbook, but I think it's more of a science book.
Well, because on the sides, it tells
Yes,
you, yeah.
there's a lot of information. It's just a really good book. And then we've got a couple of other ones. The Family Garden Plan by
That's
Melissa K.
Melissa, yeah.
Norris. And then What the Bible Says About Healthy Living, Rex Russell. That is one I bought because Sue Becker from Bread Beckers recommends this book. And I haven't read a ton on it yet, but I thought it would be a good one. And then there is Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy, the Harvard Medical School Guide to Healthy Eating. I've read maybe a third of this one, and it's got a lot of information in it. Lots of charts if that's your thing. But yeah, it's a good place to look for information if you want. And then the Backyard Homestead Book of Kitchen Know-How, Field to Table Cooking Skills. So one of the things before we wrap up that kind of going back on that concept of just how our generation is so detached from our food system, we have also lost a lot of the kitchen skills that generations before us had because everyone had everyone who didn't live in industrial America had a garden, like a kitchen garden in their yard. They were growing something. Even people in apartments could grow something on the rooftops or on their balconies. And if you grow it, that's great. But if you don't know how to process it and use it, then you're just wasting your time and energy.
Exactly.
So, learning how to break down meat, it's cheaper at the grocery store. If that's all you can get is buying a whole chicken from Walmart, knowing how to break that chicken down to create multiple meals for your family is an
Absolutely.
important skill. And knowing how to take vegetables from the garden, kohlrabi. If you don't even know what kohlrabi is, how are you supposed to know how to eat it? And you can use it in a lot of ways. You can make slaw with it, you can saute it, and you can use it like you would use broccoli stems. It's basically just an enlarged broccoli stem, but without the flower on it. But just those types of things we're so disconnected from because we're just used to having everything pre-packaged, pre-washed, and ready to cook. And yeah, we need to know how we need to know how to take it from farm to table.
We do. So what we've talked about so far was we've talked about shifting from low to high quality processed food. If you're still doing processed food, okay, if you're doing a low processed food, let's just say you're doing macaroni and cheese from Kraft, move up to maybe Annie's. It's a little bit more organic, or a chickpea pasta or something like that. So if you're going to move from
Or
low
even
processed
just
to high
learn
quality.
how to take, like, buy the store-bought macaroni, elbow macaroni, buy the milk, buy the cheese, and make homemade
So
macaroni.
that's shifting from the high quality processed food to whole food, right? And then we're going to try the next step, do the good, better, best kind of thing,
Make
is
your own
shifting
pasta.
from whole food to locally grown food, right? And then we're going to shift from locally grown food to maybe do like you do and grow your own.
Grow your own.
Yeah,
Which
exactly.
I don't know if our goal really is to grow everything ourselves. I would like to be able to source regionally. I think that's my goal. And regionally, like I was just talking to Kyle this morning about, it would be cool to find a regional family operated rice producer. And I know like Mississippi and Louisiana are big rice producers, and maybe even parts of Alabama too, but Mississippi and Louisiana are the ones that come to mind.
Because they're
But
wet.
like,
They're wet.
being able to, I mean, I could grow rice on parts of my property. It is that wet. We could grow rice there. But I don't desire to grow everything myself. I could grow oats. I could grow wheat, but that's not the point I'm at right now. I would love to be able to support local family, regional family producers instead of these huge corporations that are subsidizing the money, and then the farmer is the one that loses out on it.
Traditionally in the South, we do corn. Everybody is corn instead of rice, because it's just easy. Time to grow corn right now too. I forgot about that.
We're gonna grow sweet corn this year. We're gonna do the Four Sisters.
I think that's exciting.
I am excited about it. We got to get that bed ready tomorrow.
This is a fun podcast because I like talking about food.
Oh yeah.
And it's totally food. Yeah, and you can totally get to the point where you're supporting yourself or at least you're eating healthier. And I think mm-hmm. when you move to quality instead of quantity, it's yeah. you'll notice a change in your body.
Yeah.
I think you will. I think you'll notice a change in your body. It's just the way that it is because life gives back life, right? So if you're eating living things that have not been damaged,
denatured.
Yeah. This was a good podcast. So next week, what are we talking about?
We are going to talk about, how to source locally. And even mm-hmm. when we say local, we don't just mean down the road, but down the road would be best.
Yeah.
Like I kind of think about it with local honey. Like you want that mm-hmm. 5 mile, 10 mile radius, mm-hmm. but we're also just talking about supporting small businesses, supporting mm-hmm. family owned businesses, sources for food specifically that are going to support the people in your community.
Right.
As well as yourself.
Yeah. And we have, even statewide in Florida, we have Fresh from Florida. Mm-hmm. They have a website you can go to and you can Google your farmer there. Mm-hmm. And then we have Sweet Grown Alabama. Mm-hmm. That they have one out in Georgia, probably has one as well. Support your family, small family farmers. Your crop farmers are not going to be there because they're selling feed. They're growing feed. But your small farmers are typically going to be there. And there's Local Harvest. I mean, we'll talk about this in the next one, but there's lots of websites you can go to find local farms. And we'll give you a plethora of resources on the next podcast. Do we need to talk about, we're going to be all?
Yes. Yeah. So we have decided, we were kind of trying to figure out how we wanted to break this up into seasons. And we decided we're going to have 2 seasons per year. So this year we kind of had a little bit extra because we started back in November. But we're going to take June and July off because mm-hmm. June and July are just busy.
And they're hot.
And they're hot. And we're going to take that time, you know, to do the things that we need to do and to plan the next season. And we'll come back in August. And we will have 2 episodes a month and we'll mm-hmm. go August through November, December. I really enjoyed doing the Christmas mm-hmm. episodes.
That was fun.
And then that will end the second season, probably right around Christmas. And then we'll start the 3rd season in January and it will go January to May.
Yeah. We're going to do, so in June and July, we'll be canning. That's what we're really doing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We'll be canning all the vegetables. Yeah. And so maybe we'll throw you out an Instagram or two and say, this is what we're doing so you can watch. But we'll be canning and freezing and putting
there's a lot of things. Work to be done.
Yeah. And it's a lot of work for Shani to do this editing, even though we know she loves
that's
to listen to it.
That's why we've fallen a little bit behind.
Because it's just so nice. It's a good time to be outside and to get things done. And you want to take advantage of every minute that you can.
Yeah. Yep.
We're doing it right along with you guys. Yep. Right along with you.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we figured, you know, enjoy the summer off.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can schedule a Patreon call in June.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
To catch up with people.
If that would be something that would interest you, where we could just meet, being virtually, you can ask questions, we can answer them. Let us know. I'll be happy to hook it up. I think I can figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But let me know.
So we are planning, even if it seems like we aren't.
I know.
Planning for the future. Trying to get
trying to have balance though.
Yes, yeah. Trying to get things lined up to communicate with you while not letting go our other responsibilities. So, yeah, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, it was
thanks
real fun. Listening. Lots of birds out here.
There are
lots of nature going on today. Yes. Yeah, we hope you guys have a great happy Easter.
Yes, I've been wondering. I don't know if this
will be the next one. So
Easter,
but we hope you had a happy Easter.
Yes. So find us on Facebook and Instagram and Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
Send us a message. We'd love to hear from you. And we will talk to you next time.
Bye.